You're up, man.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is my wife, Angie. I'm Carlos. Just in case you guys never met us before, we're here to read today Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. I'm just going to start. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common.
They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. And they're getting a new house, so that verse was all about like fellowship and hosting. So party at their house. Yeah. Nice. Hey, welcome to church today. You're here on a great week because we're concluding a series called This Is Us. We did it for 4 weeks. The first week, and actually the whole series really is about who are we to be as a church and how are we called to live, not just individually, but as a community. So week one, we talked about how we are a worshiping community. And worship is more than just songs that you sing. It's how we live throughout the week. We can worship in the carpool lane. We can worship when we wish we can get in the carpool lane, at home, wherever we are. We can worship by just how we live. And singing is fun as well. But then we spent 2 weeks on being a witnessing community. And ultimately, we're just talking about identifying ourselves with Jesus. And that shows itself in a variety of ways. It can be actually sharing your faith with someone. Or it could simply be letting people know, yeah, I went to church on Sunday. You know, just connecting, representing Jesus, identifying yourself with Jesus. Last week, we had a special emphasis on Freedom Sunday and how we as a church can be a witness to the issue of human slavery and trafficking. But today, we're talking about being a disciple-making community. Fancy word, what does that mean? Being a disciple is someone who's fully devoted, fully formed into the shape of Jesus. And it doesn't happen in a moment. In a moment, we become believers, but over the course of our lifetime, God molds and shapes us into the image of Jesus. That's the process of discipleship. And the reason this is important is because the church started, the global church, started as a movement, But over the years, the word church has kind of downgraded to just being a building, being a place that we go to attend a service. But no, it's so much more. We are to be a movement. The original church 2,000 years ago was gathered around a mission. I love this quote. It says, God doesn't have a mission for his church. He formed a church for his mission. And what is that mission? Make disciples. That is it. That is it. And this comes, the whole idea of making disciples comes from this, really the seminal passage on this topic, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And it starts this way. It says, then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, those of you who have heard me teach on this topic before know I always like to pause here and say, that is an impressive resume right there. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Right, Jesus is basically making it clear that I've got it all. I kind of am the man. And so whatever he says next is significant. He's really setting the disciples up, and now 2,000 years later, he's setting us up. Like, okay, so what does this mean? He continues. He says, therefore, since I have all authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you might think, oh my goodness, like, That's a lot. That's a lot of things I got to do. It's really not. There's only one command in there, and it's the phrase, make disciples. Everything else supports that. Make disciples as you are going. Make disciples as you are baptizing. Make disciples as you are teaching to obey. Make disciples is the key. So that leads really to the big idea for this message, and that is that followers of Jesus, we need to develop double vision. Double vision in the sense that we are committed to becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus, that we would grow in the faith, but also that we would understand we are called to make disciples around us, help others become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Put it simply, we are to grow up in the faith, and then we are to raise up those around us. Grow up and then raise up. That's our big idea, double vision. Here's a picture of what disciple making can look like. I said, hey, Steve, let's use that picture of two turtles. And he says, can't do that. I said, why not? It's a great picture. He goes, it is a great picture, but those are tortoises. So, okay. I said, Steve, how do you know? He says, if you lift up their shell, it's written on the underneath the shell, tortoise. So good to know, good to know. But if we were to do kind of a commercial for, hey, you know what, be together, support one another, it might look like this video. Just a couple tortoises hanging out, being together, supporting one another, right? Raising up those around you. It's a nice Hallmark image. But let me show you the reality of what it means to making a disciple. Check out this video. This is what life is really like. Right? One of us in our community is just flat on our back. Like, how did we get here? Woe is me. Life is horrible. I can never do this right. But then there's somebody else like, no, we're gonna fix this. I'm not going anywhere. No, get out of here. I just want to wallow in my self-pity. I'm not leaving you. No, I'm not leaving you. We're going to get through this together. Leave me alone. I'm not leaving you alone. Come on, work with me. This is scary. Hang in there. I got you. We're going to do this together. I don't know. I don't like this. What are you doing? Right. Tortoise power, right? And then that's what, you know, that's the first video I showed. Like, yeah, isn't everything nice? No, everything's not cupcakes and rainbows. Life is crazy. But that really is the best picture of disciple making, the full video, where one of us is on our back, totally given up, and the other says, it's not happening on my watch. We're doing this together. And growing up and raising up others, it means sometimes you're on your back and you need me to flip you over. Most of the time, I'm on my back and I need you to flip me over. This is us. We are a disciple-making community. You may be thinking, oh, I would love to become a disciple and a disciple-maker. That's awesome. But like, what class do I have to take? Or, you know, do I have to be a certain age? Here's the deal. Take a look at this picture, this beautiful little baby. As soon as she was birthed, she was classified human. She was a human right from the beginning. She's just a small human, though, with lots and lots of needs. We can't just leave her alone. She needs parents, she needs family, she needs folks to support her, to feed her, to equip her, to help her to grow physically, intellectually, in every possible way. The same is true as a believer. The moment you give your life to Jesus, you are classified a disciple. You're a disciple. You are a follower of Jesus. You're just very young in your faith, and you have lots and lots of needs. And so you need a family, friends, a community, a disciple-making community to come alongside you and help you develop double vision so that you can become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. You can grow up in the faith And then you can help others become fully devoted follower of Jesus. Raise up. Grow up in the faith and raise up others around you. Disciple making is for everyone. So let's go back to the beginning where Carlos and Angie were reading. Chapter 2, verse 42. And this verse, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, breaking of bread and to prayer. That's an awesome place to start, which is why we started there. But there's so much more. There's so much more. When we understand the full context of chapter 2, this verse is a big deal. This is the game changer verse. But earlier in chapter 2, Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, it says that he and the 11 disciples stood up in Jerusalem in front of thousands of Jewish men and women. So they stood up in front of thousands. And just as a note, for those of you who think, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, smart enough, blah, 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 blah. Peter was the one who earlier, you know, days, weeks, months, I'm sure the timeline, well, I guess it would be at least a couple months or earlier, was the one who denied Jesus, rejected him. And then Jesus came and said, hey, you're my guy. You're going to build this church. And so he took the one on his back, flipped them over, and said, you got this. And so Peter and the 11 disciples just shared from their heart who Jesus is, why they needed a relationship with Jesus, what Jesus wanted to do in their life. And Luke writes that it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they asked Peter and the other 11, what shall we do? We hear what you're saying. We want Jesus. What shall we do? Verse 38 says this. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, repent, sometimes that's like, ooh, that's like a weird word. I don't like that word. It's a beautiful biblical word, which just means, hey, if you're going this direction, you're on the path that you've determined, which is not God's path for you. To repent means to turn around and now go on the path that God has for you. So repenting, turn from your ways, turn towards God's. And he's saying, repent. And then now as a believer, go be baptized. Go identify yourselves with the church as a member. But wait, there's more. Verse 41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000, that's incredible, 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now, really, right there, that's like incredible. Let's party. Party at Martinez's house. It's going to be awesome. 3,000, no problem. We can handle that big yard. That's not where it ends. That's where it begins. The point of salvation is not done, check it off. Okay, now let's go to the movies or let's do something else in life. No. This is the beginning. This is where now we begin to develop double vision, where we grow up in the faith, becoming formed into the image of Jesus, and we raise up others around us. This is where verse 42 now makes sense. So they became believers. Is that the end? No, it's a beginning. Now what do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, etc., etc. That's the beginning. I want you to see that, to simply become a believer is wonderful, and we will celebrate, but you're not done. You're just beginning. Now a baton has been placed in your hands, and we're going to say, hey, run the race, but you're not by yourself. We're in this together. That phrase, they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching, it's a long Greek word. And here's what it means when you unpack it. It means to persevere devotedly. It means to persist obstinately. It means to be firm in commitment. It means to have endurance. It means to remain faithful. That sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? To be a person, but to be a community that says we are devoting ourselves to the apostle teaching and to fellowship. And you know, fellowship, a lot of times we think, oh yeah, 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 we have coffee and bagels. And that's a part of it. That's just not even a slice. It's just a sliver. There's, I think it's like 42 different one another verses in the Bible. Love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, submit to one another, you know, on and on and on. All of these commands to be in each other's lives. And here's why this is important. A lot of us think we can't do this, or maybe someday. There's three myths about this. Here's myth number one. Believing that I can do this on my own. I don't need anyone. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They, in community. And as you continue to go through that verse, it shows how they were sharing with one another, serving one another, caring for one another. You can't, I can't do this on my own. We're not designed to do this on our own. We are to be a community. You know, there's another community that does this so well, and the church can learn so much from them. It's a group called AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And some of you are participants, and I applaud you for being involved in that. Way to go. But while there's many things, two things in particular that I just love that I wish we would adopt as a church is, first of all, they're honest. They don't pretend like there's no big deal. They actually walk in and they introduce themselves. Hi, my name's Greg and I'm an alcoholic. And everyone doesn't go, oh, how do they respond? Hi, Greg. Welcome. Folks, we can do that. We need to do that. Let's take off the mask. Look, I'm a pastor. I'm like paid to be good, you know? And you talk to people who know me and they're like, oh, no, yeah, he's a mess. But sometimes I'm guilty of playing the game, and I apologize. I don't want to play the game. So sometimes you're like, hey, pastor, how's it going? If I say, you know what, it sucks, leave me alone, I'm being honest. Now, that's not the time to go. That is the time to say, we got you.
That's right.
We're praying for you. They're honest. You know what else they do? They have a plan at AA. They recognize, hey, we have an issue, and it's not if we're going to be tempted to drink. When we're tempted, we need a plan, and so they have sponsors. As soon as you get involved, say, hey, my name's Greg, I'm an alcoholic. They say, hey, this is Jonathan. He's going to be your sponsor. Here's his phone number. Anytime, anywhere, any time of day you feel like you're gonna slip, you call this number. Why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing this? Here's the good news. We can. Someone comes to faith in our church, we celebrate, we thank God, but then we also got to say, here's so-and-so, here's their number. Call them. They will call you. Here's some action steps. Pull out this from the bulletin. Peter mentioned this. Pull this out. And if you're like, oh, I should have raised my hand, but I didn't. Jess, Chris, if anybody needs one of these or a pen, raise your hand. They'll hook you up. But you see action steps. The first one right there, it says, I want to be a sponsor, or I would like a sponsor. I'd love to have an army of people that says, you know what? Someone comes to faith, I'm in. I want to support them. I want to be a sponsor. I want to stand by them. I want to encourage them. I want to equip them. And you might be saying, I don't really know how to do that. That's okay. We will help you. We will teach you. I just want to know, are you interested? But don't miss this. The other one says, I would like a sponsor. I would like a sponsor. Maybe you've been in church for years and you're like, man, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm, you know, too, like, I should know more. Great. We all should. You want a sponsor? Check that off. And you might know someone like, oh, you know what, there's someone I'm going to ask right away. Maybe they're in this church, maybe they're not. But who is someone that's ahead of you? And don't feel like you have to be so far ahead to be a sponsor. Just take a step. You're one step ahead of the other person. We will help you learn how to be a sponsor, but seek a sponsor if you want. Here's another action step. Get baptized on November 10th. That's our next baptism. Spoiler alert. A couple of people are getting baptized in this room. You saw them earlier. Anyway, moving on. Join them. Let's make this a party. Make disciples. Go therefore. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Identifying with Jesus. This is a way to say, I'm not going to do this on my own. I'm going public with my faith. Baptism isn't saving me. I'm saved. I've given my life to Jesus. But now I'm going public. I'm going to get baptized to obey Jesus' command. But I'm going to get baptized so I can look at you and say, will you, do you got me? Will you help me? Because I need you to help me to grow. Baptism, November 10th. I'm super excited about that. Let me share my story a little bit. Here's some people in my life who invested in me. This first picture is a picture of my friend Glenn. This is probably like 10 years ago. My best friend to this day. He lives in Atlanta. We've known each other since seventh grade. That's a long time. We have a lot of years, a lot of stories. Most we can't share, but a lot of fun ones. But we met because I was where I usually was in athletic events, on the bench. I was sitting on the bench, and the coach took Glenn out of the game and sat next to me, which that was new for him. But we just became friends in that moment. And we have invested in each other's lives for many, many years. This next picture is Doug. And you know, this is me as an adult, and him, you know, he wasn't that much older than I, but he was my youth pastor. I don't have a picture from when I was 16 with Doug, but this was years later, and I just got to say, man, thank you. Thank you for investing in me. And you know, Peter, you saw him up here. He's our youth pastor here, and we have many volunteers who serve in student ministries. They serve like youth pastors. But Peter is investing in students and families like Doug invested in me. Here's another picture. This is my college years. That's me and Glenn with our Santa hats on. And the guy in blue, his hand on my shoulder, that's Dan. Dan was the leader of a campus ministry called Navigators. And he invested in Glenn and me. We did Bible studies together. He just taught us, here's how you live out your faith on campus. I know Stephen, I saw Stephen Benz, he's somewhere in here. He's a Dan now for this generation. He's with Inner Varsity. He would love your prayers, so join him on prayer team. Craig, I think Craig Muller's over there, Youth for Christ. Doug and Dan to this generation. He would love to have you on his prayer team. Here's a couple named Galen and Lita. When Janine and I moved to Portland, Oregon, so I can attend seminary, they just welcomed us. They invested in us. To this day, if I have any theological question, biblical question, anything I'm confused on, I will call or text Galen. The guy's brilliant, so I've known him now for decades. And this last picture is just kind of silly, but I couldn't find one of my teenage years, except I did find this. This is my senior year. There's Glenn again, hanging on my shoulder, and Tony wearing our Jethro Tull concert shirts. So that's simply just for fun. All right, myth number two. Myth number two is, I'll go to church and get everything I need. And you know what? We want you to come to church, and we want to be a church that feeds you and supports you and encourages you. But this can't be your only meal. If you physically eat one meal a week, you're not going to be healthy. If you come to church for your one spiritual meal a week, you're not going to be healthy. You need to learn to feed yourself spiritually. And it's a process. You can learn this, though. Remember this picture of this beautiful little baby? She has to be fed. She doesn't have the skill set to feed herself. But she and any other child need to grow up so that they can feed themselves. You need to be able to feed yourself, to care for yourself, so that you can provide for yourself physically. The same is true spiritually. We want to help you know how to do that. We do that in a variety of ways. Here's some action steps for this. You see, again, this is all on your card. And let me just say, really think through these. You may be tempted to be like, oh yeah, I want this one and this one, and check off everything. You can, but I would say instead, be strategic. Like, what's one or two or, you know, maybe three, but what's a few things that I can really focus on? But the first one says, sign up for a 30-day journey, meaning I'm going to send you emails for 30 days on, here are ideas on how you can grow up to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, to be a disciple, and here are ways that you can raise up those around you to be a disciple maker, so you can help them become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Ways to grow up, ways to raise up. So I'm not going to start this tomorrow, maybe even this week. In the next few weeks, though, I'm going to start. So if you're interested in getting, being on this 30-day journey, check that off. Here's another one. Consider the group Discipleship Essentials. What is this? This is actually a physical book that you would work through, and it's a journey. It's going to take you anywhere from maybe 14 to 18 months. So up to like a year and a half where you and two or three others are meeting regularly and learning about who is Jesus, how does this make a difference in my life, and like, now what do I do? That's one idea, and I would love everyone to do this, but this may not be the season for you, and if so, no worries. Guilt-free zone right here. Grace. But what is your plan? We offer groups like Alpha, A Life Worth Exploring. We offer a host of community groups. On the back table is a list of, hey, here's some community groups that are happening. If you're thinking, hey, we've got a new house, why don't we host one? I'm really laying it on you guys over here, right? But if you're interested in hosting one, you're not on the list, but we'll get you going. Community, we want you to be able to feed yourself spiritually. Here's some of my story on how this is connected. This first picture, I want to say this is like maybe four-ish years ago. Bobby, you might have an idea. I'll just say four-ish. This is where, you know, Bobby's in the picture. There's Bill Lewis, Mike Duty, Jay is here. Myself, two guys are missing, Chris Taylor, and then Robert, the legend, Rodriguez. And this was a time I just said, hey, guys, I'm really like, I really want to make disciples. I'm not doing it. Let's get together and really learn what this means. And we met on Saturdays for, I don't know, like 5-6 months. And then we said, okay, now let's go do something with this. And this next picture is a picture of the guys from my Discipleship Essentials group. We got Lou, we got Mark, we got Mike. I don't know if any of them are here this morning. These are guys, you know, we went through a book together, and here's what the book looks like, Discipleship Essentials. It'll be up on the screen. That's what it looks like. So yeah, we went through a book together, but you know what? We did life together. I don't just say this as, you know, like being a preacher comment. I mean this. I would take a bullet for any of those three guys. When I first met them, I cared about them. I loved them, and I would have called 911 for them. Absolutely. Absolutely. But over like a year plus, meeting regularly, being real, digging into the Bible, challenging one another, laughing with one another. Man, our text threads are hilarious. We did life together. Now, it helped that the three of them were cops, so I was pretty much safe the whole time. But if they were ever ambushed,
I was ready.
You got to feed yourself spiritually. Here's myth number three. And I think this is a lot of us. I can't do this for whatever reason. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough time. I've tried it before and I failed. I can't do this. That's a myth. Maybe you have tried it and failed. Great. You learned a way to not do it. Or maybe it was just like the wrong person or the wrong season or you were doing too much. Listen, the church, we can be guilty of making you busy. Please, you have permission to say, well, thank you, Pastor. That's a wonderful opportunity, but I'm going to have to say no. I will do this. I will say, way to go. Now, who else can I ask? But seriously, just don't be busy. Be strategic. Yeah, you know what? We need greeters. We need this and we need that. But don't be so busy that you're not really hearing from God. You can do this. Let me go back to the Matthew 28 passage. It said, make disciples. It's awesome. This is a great plaque for your house. But what you don't know is the backstory. Let's go back a couple verses. Verses 16 and 17. This is before he said make disciples. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, this is the resurrected Jesus, they worshiped him. No, duh. He was dead. He's alive. Let's party. Hey, there's Sarge right there. What's up, man? Let's party. But there's another phrase. They worshiped him, but some doubted. Are you kidding me? You're going to doubt? And there he is. Maybe they're doubting themselves, but maybe they're doubting. We don't know. But there's doubt in this moment. I love that this verse is here because it helps me know. When I have doubt, I'm in a good club. I'm in a good club. But that's the context for then he says the next verse, make disciples. And he doesn't say, okay, those of you who believe, make disciples. You doubters, I'll deal with you later. No. He says to this group of worshipers and doubters, make disciples. And that's what he's saying to us, regardless of where we are. You know, this verse is not complete. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Here's the part I left off. Jesus says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You can't do this? Yeah, you're right. You can't do this in your own strength. I can't do this in my own strength. I get tired and whiny and not fun to be around. But Jesus, I'm struggling. Would you give me the strength? Would you give me the power? Jesus is like, yeah, I got this. I'm going to flip you over. We're going to do this together. Here's some action steps. Number one, I will stop believing the lies. The lies that I can't do this. The lies that I'm not enough, good enough, smart enough, whatever enough. I'm going to stop believing the lies. But secondly, I will start living a new reality. The reality that says, hey, I am part of something bigger here. I'm not the part. I am a part of something bigger here. And like for my story, for examples like this, I would have pictures of you on the screen. I would have a picture of Senora Maria, who faithfully prays for me. I would have pictures of the prayer team who pray for me. I would have a picture of Pablo, who so many times, like, you know, something happens and it's a little chaotic. And then I see him, you know, doing something to help resolve the issue. And I'll go up to him like, hey, Pablo, thanks for doing that. And he always says the same thing. We got your back, Pastor. We got your back. And for him, that's a phrase. For me, that's an inspiration. And I know that's true for many of you, but I'm just telling you, your pictures would be up here because this is us. We can do this together. Folks, it's not about attending church. We were formed to start a movement where God says, I don't have a mission for my church. I have a church for my mission. And he invites us to be a part. Again, the verse from Acts 2. They devoted themselves. We're in this together. To the apostle teaching, to the fellowship, right? We're not going to be alone. We can do this because of the power of God. I want to, as I begin to wrap up, do you remember this video from Apple? It's probably 10 plus years old, and it was called The Crazy Ones. Here's to the crazy ones. And there was a voiceover. We don't have the audio now. I'm just going to read you some, where he said, hey, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, you can disagree with them, you can glorify or vilify them, but the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. The people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world, these are the ones who actually do. The crazy ones. Folks, I want us to be some of the crazy ones. To think, you know what? God can use me. More importantly, God can use us. And I can have that confidence because I'm not doing this by myself. I've got a team of people who are going to help me grow up in the faith, and then raise up those around us. So let's go back to our turtles, and I'll close with this and say, here's to the faithful ones. Here's to the ones who devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Some of them messed up really, really badly. Some of them thought there was no hope for them. They thought they were through. They thought God could never use them. They thought they weren't smart enough or brave enough or faithful enough. They thought they just didn't have time. But God had other plans. God was always with them. God brought others into their lives that would help them grow in the faith so that they too could help others grow in the faith. You may think they're crazy, and they just may be, but they're also faithful, even if that faith starts today. This is us, folks. I encourage you. In just a moment, these guys are going to sing a song. Use that as a time just to reflect. Is there one or two action steps I need to take? And then later, when we receive the offering, just drop that in the bucket. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the God who is with us, who is for us, who loves us, even when we are unlovable and faithless. We thank you, and we pray that you help us to be the church you are calling us to be, that we would be a worshiping community, a witnessing community, a disciple-making community, because this is us. In Jesus' name, amen.